Good morning and God's peace. I'm going to take a little liberty again and once again introduce myself. Perhaps last time I was here, this is the second time that I've been invited to join you for a worship service. I'm Ed Holkanen from the Alston congregation. Pastor Jesse, of course, spent many years with us there and became a dear friend and still a real dear friend. But I must admit, in the flesh, when he did call me to come here, he had asked about next Sunday, the 25th, and I had an excuse. So I told him, no, sorry, I can't. And he said, well, how about the 15th? I figured he had me. But it truly is a blessing to be here. I'm not totally comfortable with the crowd. Alston being a small congregation, I look about, there's several here that once called Alston their home and worship there with us. And many of you have visited, but even the first hymn, "O for a Thousand Tongues," to hear this number of people sing it, where in Alston we're blessed, very blessed as a small congregation, don't get me wrong, but we're just a couple of handfuls of people on any given Sunday morning. And to hear that first opening hymn, "O for a Thousand Tongues," wow. As believers in Jesus Christ, what we have to look forward to. That day in heaven when we will be singing praises in person unto our Lord and Savior. It was awe-inspiring. But I do thank you for the invitation, and it is truly a privilege. And the warmness of this congregation, it overwhelms me, because from my world, Zion is this huge congregation, and you are large. You've been blessed. But the warmness, I mean, many of you know me personally, and we've greeted, but even exchanging eye contact with those that I didn't get to shake a hand and wish God's peace, the warmness in your look, you know, you saw me as a stranger, and, you know, I looked like I was doing something perhaps here today, but how that made me feel welcome and even helped calm the nerves. But enough said. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be multiplied unto you this day of grace and forevermore. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1 through verse 14, reading in the name of our Lord as follows. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come on to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word before us this morning. We ask, Father, that you would open it to each of us. As we gather, we come with many earthly concerns, things that we need to deal with in our earthly life. But we ask for these moments, Father, that you would calm us, open our hearts to receive by your Spirit, and allow us to leave here rejoicing in the truth of your great love and salvation shown through Jesus. Amen. Here we are in Matthew. It's a rich portion of God's Word. I'm still amazed, as I always prepare to study and I'm driven into deeper study, and how rich it becomes. And sometimes I get to the point where it's even like, how can I get these thoughts coherent? There's just so much going on. But I think first we need to just make it real simple. Now, this is a parable that Jesus himself spoke. And he spoke it on to, as we read in the previous chapter, the verses, onto the chief priests and the Pharisees, the religious people of that day. This is actually the third parable where Jesus had actually been, I guess you could say, quite harsh. And a parable is, in the simplest way to describe it, it's a story that related to the time and the culture that will open up a spiritual meaning. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was talking about a wedding. And to really do this portion, we need to really think and maybe even just mention for a moment what a wedding was during this time of Jesus' life. I mean, this day and age, weddings are well prepared for. You know, the bride and the mother of the bride and family especially, I mean, they do lots of planning. But it happens rather quick, doesn't it? You know, you have a rehearsal, the next day probably the wedding, and it's done. You know, year of planning, perhaps more, and it's over. But weddings in this time were lengthy events. Some scholars say up to a week. Can you imagine? Can you imagine putting on that kind of a feast? So what Jesus was doing is taking this, the one celebration within the Jewish culture that was, you know, the celebration to be at, a wedding, and really trying to describe something to these Pharisees. So Jesus answered and he spake to them in a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now this wasn't even an average commoner's wedding. This was a marriage for a king's son. I mean, we can think back. I mean, the only concept of royalty we have is when we watch Great Britain. The pomp, the circumstance, you know, all the TV cameras on, the beautiful apparel, all that going on. But here we have a king, and his son was getting married. And in verse 3, it tells us that he sent forth his servants to call them which were bidden. Now, we have to take note what bidden was. These people, you know, that they were bidden, they had already been invited. You know, some speculate that in these times, you know, you weren't exactly sure when it was going to start just due to the culture and the food preparation and such things. I don't know. You could go there. But anyway, these people had a previous invitation, but now it was ready, and his king sent out his servants to tell them that the wedding was ready. And the end of verse 3, it says they would not come. Those Pharisees, religious people, who already had plans well underway. Actually, this parable was spoken right during Holy Week. Most say right about Wednesday. That week before Jesus' crucifixion. Plans were well away to do away with him. To bring him to death. So these people that were invited, they were told the wedding's ready, and they would not come. What an offense to that king. But yet this king was gracious. And he sent forth his servants, saying, tell them, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come on to the marriage. You know, the second time he went back and he described, this is going to be the wedding feast of feasts. Come. And Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. But yet the beautiful thing about God's holy word is it is alive. And this is relevant to us this day and age. Isn't it how our gracious God keeps calling and beckoning us to draw on to him? To come closer. You know, often I think, even as I know as I feel more compelled to do more outreach, the best story we have is when we can relate how gracious God was with us as he called us to true repentance, to bring us to where we needed to be. Because as you look back, even though those things were difficult at the moment, wasn't our God gracious to bring us to the point of understanding that we need a Savior? So the king had sent out his servants twice. And in verse 5, it goes on to tell, but these people, they made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. I probably say it too often from the pulpit and those that hear me preach in Alston, but you know what? In my own life, you know what gets in the way of my own personal walk with Jesus Christ? It's life. I'm talking the good things. Because, you know, when things are going how Ed thinks his life should go and things are falling in place and I see blessing upon blessing, you know, there's not quite so much need for the Lord. You know, you cut down on prayer. I do. So in that context, too, I think, you know, as we face difficulties in life, which we will, we need to remember that God has a purpose for those difficulties. He's a gracious God. He's continuing to beckon, to call us, to understand who he is and what is offered through Jesus and him alone. So they were busy. They went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant, meaning some of the people, took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them, killed them. And this is exactly what many of the Jewish people had done. They were the chosen people of God back from Genesis in Abraham's time, where God promised to multiply. And they waited. They looked for the coming of the Messiah. And that's what just amazes me. How can that be? These people knew the Old Testament. They were waiting for the Messiah. But when Jesus Christ walked in their midst and proclaimed who he was, they could not receive it to themselves. But I guess isn't that what we are, sinners? It's hard for us to see Christ often. And in that context, you know, as sitting here as believers, being called and beckoned by the Lord, and we have so much to be thankful for. You know, that over 1,000 tongues to sing. That God loves us each as individuals and draws us moment by moment through our lives to understand our personal need for Jesus Christ. So now the king had heard, you know, that these servants were killed. And he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. God is a gracious God. God is a patient God. But yet he is a God of righteous judgment. There is a day of judgment coming. And I think sometimes we forget to mention that enough. But then again, I think there's a balance because, you know, you don't want to scare anybody into the kingdom. Because even as we'll read later on, you really need to be there for the right reason. And you need to be clothed a certain way. So the king destroyed these people who had killed his servants and burned up their city. And thus, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden, meaning invited, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they could, as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. I love that, both bad and good. This misconception that in order to come to Jesus Christ, that we better clean up our act first. No. You realize what you are, that you're a sinner in need of God's grace offered through Jesus Christ, His shed blood on Calvary and that alone. And you come to Him and God will accept us. And then you know what? God through the Spirit will clean us up. And I think, in all fairness, we need to be alert that our lives are being cleaned up. As believers, God continues the process. So the wedding was furnished. Went out and invited the others. And here in the context, going back to what he was telling these Jewish leaders that had rejected him is, you know, you people have rejected me. I am the Messiah. You have seen the miracles. I have walked on this earth. You have heard me declare who I am. And you've rejected it. And now this is available for the rest of the world, the Gentiles. And in the eyes of good Jewish people of the time, the Gentiles were probably mostly bad. That's how their society was. And in reality, that's what brought it salvation to the rest of us. Opened it to the whole world, all who will come to him in faith. So the wedding was furnished. And in verse 11, it tells us, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there that had not put on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. It was interesting reading commentaries. You can start going many different directions. That some say that kings would provide a wedding garment. But wouldn't it be an insult to show up at a place, whether you had to go home and get dressed, to come to this great, magnificent feast? This wasn't just a neighbor. This was a king's son, his wedding feast. And that man stood there and he was speechless. Speechless. He had no excuses. Scripture doesn't tell us. You know, he didn't make any excuses saying, well, you know, it was too far to walk home to get my good clothes, to get my wedding garment. You know, I had too short notice. The man stood there speechless. As we look at this, we can say, you know, in some ways this is even looking ahead into the great wedding feast when Christ himself will return. But how are we clothed? What will make us acceptable at this feast? Is it because you did everything in the church? You know, you were not only on the church board, but you did Sunday school, you know, you helped in the kitchen, oh, da, 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 these things. You were kind to my neighbor. I never kicked my dog. You know, when my wife said, you know, stop, because you're going to run into something in the car, you said, yes, dear, instead of growling. You know, well, what makes us? It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:9, reads as follows. Or 4, let's see, yep, I believe it was 3:9. Yes. And this is Paul writing to the Philippian church, the church in Philippi. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, that the righteousness which is of God by faith. We receive this through faith and we are clothed. And even in Revelation, there's a portion. It doesn't pop in my mind. But when they ask it, who are these, you know, in this white apparel? And they say these are the saints in these white robes. And it's these robes washed in the blood of Christ. On that great day when Jesus Christ returns, there will be some that will be speechless. They will realize what they missed, what they spurned. The loving, gracious call of God. And even in this story, it wasn't just one invitation. but another one saying, this is how wonderful it's going to be. Come. But no, I'm too busy. We are most blessed as brothers and sisters journeying together in faith. In verse 13, and the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. There is a judgment coming. And as believers, it should motivate us to live lives that demonstrate the transforming power of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. Because you know what? I would dare say each and every one of us knows somebody who has no use for the Lord. I know myself, the ones hardest to witness to are often those closest to me. But ask God. We have the gift of the Spirit. God will give us strength. Enable us in those times to share, to encourage. And like I even said previously, sometimes it's just to sit down with somebody over a cup of coffee and take away this idea that they have that this is a harsh God. This is a God who graciously calls and beckons all to come unto Him, to be at this wedding feast, and not to be clothed in their own works, what they've accomplished, how good they are and such. To be clothed in Jesus Christ. We are so blessed. John 14:6, a familiar verse, reads as follows. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has provided a way. It's free. Ours to accept through faith. God bestowing we don't deserve the grace He bestows upon us. But yet we each be motivated to reach out where we can. To encourage others. And a lot of times you don't have to give them a full-blown sermon. People need to be loved where they're at. And you and I need to point them to the one who can clothe them properly. And that is Jesus and Him alone. We are all truly blessed. You are blessed as a congregation. I was so touched by Brother's prayer this morning, even about praying for each other and praying for your pastors. You know, we gather to worship, to hear God's word proclaimed. But also, let's not forget these little things. If I even stood in there and I watched before the service as the children were coming in and people were visiting and sharing. Fellowship is important. Christian friendship, where we begin these bonds where we can share and encourage one another. Where we're not ashamed to pull somebody inside and say, you know, I have a problem. I'm struggling here. May God continue to bless you as a congregation. Remember to pray for your leadership, your church board, your Sunday school teachers, your pastor, and everyone who does so much here, just to make this happen on a Sunday morning. You know, so often we come to a gathering, and until you've been involved in getting the details, that things would go in an orderly way, we forget what really needs to be done. So encourage one another. A simple thank you. Praise them. And you know what? Be willing to step up in some small way if there's ever an opportunity. God will enable. I see that in my own life. Pastor Jesse told me years ago, be bold, stand up, He used to tease me because I would get up and do the announcements behind our little piano in Alston. And he said, well, you're already preaching. You just need to stand at the pulpit. But yet, God enables and He provides when we are just bold and willing to trust that He will use us in whatever capacity He sees fit. Be encouragers. Live your life in a way that shows you are truly transformed by the blood of Christ that you have on that white robe. And that you're looking forward to that moment where you will stand in that heavenly throng with 1,000 tongues, thousands upon thousands. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love towards us, the forgiveness you offer through Jesus Christ. It's often hard for us to even comprehend how great your love is, that you understand and that you know each of us by name. Make us a people of prayer, a people that would encourage one another, and that we would live boldly and joyfully in this earth, that others may see, Father, your graciousness, your forgiveness, even flowing through us because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.